You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Transport is a major contributor to New Zealand's greenhouse gas emissions, and although light electric vehicles are making massive waves in reducing these emissions, heavy diesel-powered vehicles, such as freight trucks, are lagging behind. I spoke to journalist Rod Oram about trucking fleets and began by asking what some of the short and long-term strategies for CO2 reductions could be.
It's difficult, and I'd like to start at a slightly different point, if I may, which is one of the solutions is going to get more freight moved from road to rail and sea, coastal shipping, because they are by nature energy far more efficient, and hopefully, you know, we'll continue electrification of the main North Island trunk line, you know, long before we'll get, you know, fuel efficient and low carbon vehicles. So I think it's very important to see this in that big context. And the freight companies are already really interested and have invested well in intermodal freight. So, for example, companies like Main Freight have built truck rail interchanges. They're building on railway property in Wellington and in Auckland. So I think you have to look at it in that very big picture. And that's one, those are a couple of steps there. But when you come back to the vehicles themselves, there will be continuing progress on making diesel vehicles more fuel efficient and cleaner. But of course, that doesn't get you at all far. I mean, only hardly makes any dent at all in terms of the emissions overall. You then start to look at complicated scenarios about different fuels. And the ideal one would be biofuel of some kind, because you'd probably be running the same vehicles, at least the newer ones, with the same engine. And biofuel, though, is tantalizingly difficult. It's fine in technology terms, but it's still very challenging in economic terms. And, you know, there is a good amount of biofuel around. And I don't mean sort of like growing corn crops to make ethanol. The biggest use, for example, in the UK is using animal fat, tallow, to make biodiesel. And that's a well-established technology. Here in New Zealand, Z Energy is building its own plant to do that. And it's already signed up a fair few major customers like Fonterra to take that fuel. But it's having significant technological problems with the plant here in Auckland at Wiri. And they've gone awfully quiet on that. And I've not plied them with questions about it, but I actually don't quite understand what's gone wrong, because that's a proven technology elsewhere. I'm only guessing, you could certainly ask them, is that they've sort of gone off and done their own version of that and running into technological problems. The next form of biofuel, and of course, I stress the great benefit of biofuel is that you're probably going to be able to use the same engines. And even on older vehicles, you could use a blend of the biofuel with diesel to cut down emissions. So the second great process for biofuel is wood waste. And there was task force looking at that involving Z Energy and Scion, the Crown Research Institute. And they came, and there are technological examples of that working elsewhere in the world. But when they did that study about 5 years ago, I'm thinking, they came to the conclusion it's not economically feasible yet. Then the third form of biofuel is to capture carbon monoxide from industrial processes like steel mills and turn that into a biofuel. Now, the problem with biofuels, though, is that you're still putting carbon dioxide up in the air when you burn the fuel. The benefit is it, though, with the three methods I described there, you are reusing carbon dioxide to create those fuel and burn it. So you're not digging more fossil fuels out of the ground and therefore creating new carbon dioxide. So it's a halfway house, but a practical one, possibly, whilst other technologies are still developing.
Going into the other technologies, we're seeing this transition going either towards electricity-powered vehicles or hydrogen-powered. What do you think New Zealand will adopt, or which one the government will back more so?
Oh, definitely electric, because that's going to be fine for light vehicles, cars, you know, pickup trucks, vans, and all the cost and technology curves are going in the right direction on that. Still expensive, range still limited, but battery power's improving and range is extending, cost of cars is coming down. So all that's heading in the right direction, but the government still needs to have some kind of policy to incentivize more take-up, I suppose. And it keeps promising some policy on that, but hasn't come up with it yet. I think it's difficult because the best policy that works elsewhere in the world is called fee-based systems. So a car's emissions are taxed. So a vehicle with high emissions has a high tax. And as you come down into a lower emission vehicle, that tax gets less and less. But the revenue collected from those taxes, those fees, then flow through into rebates to people who buy low emissions vehicles or zero emissions vehicles. So it's a way of emitters subsidizing the purchase of clean technology. But the problem here in New Zealand is we, for good and bad, for better or for ill, we've put transport in the emissions trading scheme. So we're already taxing the carbon in fuel. It's not a big, even at $25 a ton of carbon, it's only a small impost. So the government might be reluctant to put a second tax on carbon on top of that. Then, you know, can we do the electricity to do all those cars? Sure, there'll be some capital expenditure of that. There will be some more generation. But again, the whole technology of renewable electricity generation keeps improving and the costs keep getting better too, whether it's on solar or wind or, you know, more geothermal. So I mean, there's lots to do there, but I'm quite relaxed about, well, relaxed. There's still, you can see the pathways, economic and technological. The question then is, how do you speed them up? So, you know, light vehicle fleet, you can kind of see how that might work. But the heavy fleet is difficult. There are examples, you know, Tesla and a couple of others in the States with prototype heavy-duty trucks, but the weight of the batteries is still a huge issue, which is why then people look at hydrogen. Because in effect, a hydrogen vehicle is still an electric vehicle because you're using the hydrogen in a fuel cell in the car to generate electricity to drive an electric motor. And it's amazing how committed a handful of car makers have been to this. You know, they've proved the technology and the range is okay, but you've still got this problem with hydrogen that it's a very low-density fuel. Even when it's highly compressed in the tanks of these cars, it's like really compressed. So you still need an awful lot of litres of hydrogen to go the same distance as you would litres of petrol or diesel. And then there's the huge cost of the infrastructure, which is kind of different challenge than just extending the electricity network for electric cars.
What do you see the risks being with moving toward electric-powered heavy fleet? Would it be this expense? You know, diesel's still very cheap to use.
Yeah.
Will the transition pay off economically in the future?
It's a really big challenge. It's still a technological challenge to build large, heavy hydrogen-powered vehicles. And it's a really serious economic challenge. However, there are countries, in particular Japan and Korea, that are really, really keen on hydrogen for electricity generation and all kinds of other things. So they are by far the keenest on all this. But I don't know whether there's enough momentum from them to really push the development of the technology far, far harder. So all this becomes technologically and economically far more viable.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.